time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah, this is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
Yeah, it is. It is. We back. Black History Year. Women's History Year Month. You know, we out here, man.
Quarantine day 1,020.
1,020. Yo, we looking at a stem near year strong.
Yeah, it's definitely
a year strong.
I think this is the 1 year mark.
Yeah, it's looking like it. This is the week of the 1 year, definitely. You know, it's time to, you know, put out the candles, blow out the candles. But don't blow out the candles because, you know, that wouldn't be safe. But it is definitely Corona birthdays.
Yeah.
That shit is wild.
Shit, what the fuck was you doing last year this time, right before it popped off?
I was on stage talking shit about Corona. I swear I was. I definitely was talking shit about the people in Italy. How their lungs was on some bullshit and all of this other shit that I, you know, fortunately have lived to regret.
Right.
But it was ignorant nonetheless.
No doubt.
Yeah. What about you?
I mean, you know how you get the 1 year things from like Facebook and Instagram and shit like that? And I got the 1 year thing of when I posted the Zulu Ball video, which was like 20,000 black people in one place. And I was like, yo, I never seen no shit like that. It was crazy. And, you know, here I didn't know, unbeknownst to me, I was at a super spreader event. You know what I'm saying?
At a super duper spreader. Yeah, because New Orleans was heavy at first.
Right.
Oh, shit. Shit. Man, look at that.
And not to be laughing and shit, because there were a lot of members of the Zulu organization that were affected by the virus and a lot of deaths and a lot of, you know what I'm saying? Even the guy who hired me to come out there is like his mom, his dad, and his sister were all sick with the shit.
Wow.
Like, right. Soon as it, you know what I'm saying, it got popping. So it was like, damn. I felt like, you know what I mean, I was right in the middle of it. Like I was in the midst of it. It felt like, you know what I mean, felt like I was, the corona was in the air that I was breathing and shit, you know. And there's been a few times since, like, damn, you know what I mean, like people I've been around that had it when I was around them, you know what I mean. So it's kind of like, yo, like I'm out here dancing between the stars and shit.
Yeah. Ducking droplets.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's crazy. Speaking of super spreader events, I was looking at some footage from All-Star Weekend in Atlanta. And that shit looked like 2019. That did not look like no hint of a pandemic, the footage that I saw. I seen thousands. It wasn't as dense as maybe the Zulu Ball, but it was from the windows to the wall, and I really didn't see near one mask. I don't know what the fuck is going on.
Hey, man. Oh, AG opened the dome. He had 10,000 people in there.
Look at that.
You know what I'm saying? That's great. Also opened Onyx, the strip club. And, you know, I don't know the capacity report on that, but I'm sure it was crowded, you know. So
yeah, the spot that I saw was Domain, which is the old opera. Or the old, was it 1150? I think it was. Yeah, that's the name of the club. But yeah, man, it was crazy.
Damn.
Cats were shoulder to shoulder, you know, just you know, all inhaling one big ass cloud.
One air.
It was wild. One air under a groove, you know? I don't get it. But, yeah, man.
I mean, Atlanta has given up on the shit for real. At least the streets of Atlanta, you know.
I feel like the streets of Atlanta are immune. I don't know what the secret is, but there seems to be somebody with the antidote. There seems to be something in the behavior.
They are the herd that they talk about in herd immunity. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. So, you heard?
They've been out there. They like, nigga, we've been out here from the jump. Shit, mm-hmm. we got it, and it ain't kill us. We still here.
It feels real mind over matter down there. But, that's what it feels like. I feel like, you know, what you thinking negative for? That's what people are saying.
Right.
I'm going to tell you, though, this whole thing is reaching a threshold. I mean, yes, a year in, I was moving my car today, and it was 55. It was nice. Mm-hmm. I had no jacket on. I just went out there with a hoodie. Sat in the car all to the side of the street parking. I definitely had my mask on.
Mm-hmm.
But you could feel the restlessness in the air, you know? I talked to our White House correspondent, Cam. He told me he had his first shot today.
He called a White
That's
House
our White House correspondent. We got a White House correspondent, boss.
Word up.
You know, he on shot one. It's I feel like it's gonna be a lot of vaccine shaming coming up soon. You know, not even vaccine shaming, but a lot of pressure, especially when this weather starts to hit. It's one thing to really, you know, duck it, be diligent, and play safe when it's cold outside, when it's snow on the ground, but you know, when it's a year done passed and it's shiny outside and we getting that good weather again,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, yo, you better go ahead and get this shot. And I'm still reluctant. I'm not going to lie. I'm super reluctant. Hell where you nah. at?
I'm reluctant as fuck. You know, I've seen plenty of people get it.
I have to. I got them on my watch list. I call it my vaccination watch list. It's about 5 to 6 people so far that I'm keeping an eye on.
Right.
You know, they in my, yeah. But my
mother-in-law got it.
Okay.
She got her second shot. You know, come across a few other people that was getting it. I was shooting. Man, 6ix9ine was on his second shot when we ran into him. So
6ix9ine.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's what they call him, 6ix9ine.
Who they call 6ix9ine?
A motherfucker who's 6ix9ine.
Oh, okay, but you know that's like a weird name to be called now.
I mean,
it's kind of sullied bit.
Nah, not 6ix9ine the rapper nigga.
Right.
He was 6ix9ine before that nigga came along.
But you know, it's certain names become very loaded. I remember when I used to do comedy on the hump. I remember some cats came down type aggressive,
mm-hmm.
and was like, yo, you do a comedy show with Vlad? And I said, yeah. And they was like, well, Vlad, you do a comedy show. And I'm like, my man, Vladimir Camayo. Yo, I think they thought it was DJ Vlad.
Oh.
And I think they wanted to do harm to this man. I was like, and I was like, to wow. You. Yeah, well.
You fuck with Vlad?
Right. I was like, that's my man's. You know.
Oh, word?
Right. Wow.
You the ops.
I ain't know. Mm-hmm. Out here making people laugh with the ops. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Laughing with the ops. Hell, but yeah, so 6ix9ine, what you mean? 6ix9ine got the vaccine.
Yeah, he got the
vaccine.
Other
6ix9ine.
The real 6ix9ine.
OG 6ix9ine.
The real 6ix9ine.
The real 6ix9ine.
I think that's
wow.
what he called himself on Instagram. The real 6ix9ine.
Okay.
Yeah, but he was on his second shot when we ran into him. And uh-huh. he said he felt good, you know, man. So. You know, I'm keeping an eye on it.
Yeah. And I got a few people that got the shots, you know, and I'm, you know, so far everybody's been good so far. And, you know, I hope the best for everybody. I'm just, you know, I'm paying attention. And
you going to get it?
And I don't know, man. I'm like, at this point, I don't think so. But I'm highly reluctant. You know what I'm saying? Because we've already talked about this, but, you know, the history of it all still has me feeling like a high level of scrutiny.
Right.
And then the messaging and, like, the urgency and the targeting of mm-hmm. it all seems real extreme. Like, I've never really seen this before. Mm-hmm. So it makes my
Spidey
makes me
want to
put my my Spidey senses. Yeah, I'm on my Scully.
Right.
You know what I mean? I feel the vibes. You know, I smell roaches.
It's roaches.
So some roaches in here. So I'm like, I'm kind of a little nervous. But then at the same time, like I said, you know, the weather breaking. You know, I'm hearing that they talking about, I think, April 1 or April 10, New York will be able to have up to 100 people up into, you know, at a venue, which kind of sort of brings back stand-up live. You know, I mean, it's, you know, not to say there ain't been no prohibition era stand-up going on for quite some time, but there's, you know what I mean? Like, you know, but it'll be fully for real, for real. And obviously that opens up the opportunity to not only make people laugh, but to make some paper. So then that comes the whole situation. You know, but I've noticed this. We're going to talk about, there's a lot of shaming going on. In a lot of different areas, right? We're going to talk about a lot of it, or a couple areas in this pod, but I definitely see a lot of reluctant shaming, vaccine reluctant shaming. It's a lot of, well, I mean, do you even know what's in the food you eating?
Right,
you know what
right.
I'm saying? Don't tell me nothing. If you, you know, it's like, if you eat McDonald's, then you have no right. You know what I'm saying? Like,
why all the conspiracy niggas from New York have that voice?
Oh, yeah. Because I don't even know what that connotes.
You sound like my man from Living Color.
Oh, right. My man Damon Wayans.
Yeah.
They frustrated with all of the knowledge.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That knowledge is just the third eye is so...
strength.
So fucking hard. Yeah, so strength from, you know, seeing so much. You know what I mean? So, but it's a lot of that, like, come on. And it's just really, like, you just really diminishing the real history on the books. And you really, and who are you doing it for?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Who are you serving by doing that?
Right.
You know? But, you know, so we'll see.
They
see
tried
where
to hit LeBron with that shit. You know what I'm saying? I asked him where he was at with it. He was like, well, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to talk to my family. We're going to have a discussion. And then we'll know. But right now, we going to have a discussion. You know what I'm saying?
You know, that means, nah.
But they tried to make it into a whole thing. Like, he's not going to get it. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, damn, the motherfucker just ain't want to talk about it with you.
Right.
Now,
did you see? Hold on. But to that point, did you see the clip of Wendy Williams and Dr. Oz?
Hell no. Nah. What happened?
I like that reaction. I forgot you. You're not a big Wendy fan.
Where would I be watching Wendy?
Or maybe you just don't rock with Oz. I don't know. But,
you know what yeah, where would I be watching?
That was a strong
either.
Reaction.
You know what I'm saying? That's daytime man. TV. You know what I'm saying? That's for like grandmas and shit. Like where you know, I don't know where I'm at during that time of day to be understanding this information.
Look, I've been in the house for a whole year. Well, so anyway, but I see this on the internet. But I ain't gonna lie, man, I'm proudly a daytime cat. I watch The View, you know what I'm saying?
Oh,
like
shit.
I got some grandma hits
but,
on
but
the watch
you
list.
Do, yeah, you do make grandma food. You got that in you. You know
I'm out here.
Yeah.
I'm out here. Hey, man. So there's a clip. I'll put it up somewhere. Look at that. I'll put it up. Where we putting it? If y'all ain't seen it, you'll see. You'll look for it. But it's a clip of, you know, because I'm not even going to lie about that. I mean, we used to throw things on the Facebook page, but that's so long ago.
Oh, shit.
Oh, man. We should get back to that. But anyway, there's a clip of Wendy Williams and Dr. Oz, and they talking about the vaccine, and Dr. Oz says to Wendy, are you going to take it? And she says, I don't trust it. Right? And he's like, oh, well, you know, she said, nah, I'm not taking it. Like, you got to see it. She's like, nah, you know, Wendy with the Oz. She was like, nah. Like, nah, nigga, it's not going to happen. Dr. Oz looked so sad. It was the funniest clip. You got to see the shit. It is hilarious, man. But I suggest y'all go ahead and Google Wendy Williams, Dr. Oz vaccine, and it will be there for you. But go ahead. So you and the vaccine, talk to me.
Me and the vaccine, I'm not eligible to get the vaccine yet.
Oh.
So let's put that out there up front. I'm not
just
in the eligible
turn.
Group yet. You know what I'm saying? So okay. I'm watching to see how these eligibles pan out. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
But again, you know me, you know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, I know we all going to end up having to take it somewhere or the other, whether it's by choice or force. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, you know, what you going to do? The whole world going to be vaccinated and shit, and whatever monsters we become them.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But right. I'm not sold to be out there in the front row yet. You know what I'm saying? I'm a slow adopter. I'm a ride and look and see. And then maybe we get herd immunity before I have to take it.
Yeah.
Or, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Maybe I end up taking it. You know what I mean? I ain't opposed or against. I'm just very cautious.
Yeah, I'm very cautious. I haven't taken a flu shot in a very long time. So,
I never took a flu shot.
Yeah.
And I ain't never had
And
a
I
flu.
Hear that from doctors. Doctors have told me. Nah, I don't fuck with that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, well, listen.
Yeah. I think I probably was way more opposed to the flu shot than I was to the vaccine. Because
because the flu shot is different than the vaccine. Well, first of all, is a pandemic,
right?
So that's why, you know. But go ahead.
I'm just saying, you know, they come out, hey, you get the flu shot. I'm like, well, damn, nobody never needed a flu shot before. I've been living a long time. It's the same ass flu that is usually. Why nigga need a flu shot? I ain't even never had the fucking flu, so fuck it. You know what I'm saying? But the pandemic, it had way a bigger story surrounding it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's people dying. You know what I'm saying? People you know have died.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You could breathe it. It could get in you and you kill you. You don't even see it coming. You can't even wear rubber to protect yourself from this shit. You know what I'm saying? So that's like, oh, that's compelling. You know what I'm saying? Make you
said it's compelling.
Right. And make you pay attention.
He made it sound like good content.
It was. Good content the way they put it together. They made the whole world go home and sit the fuck down. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
That's how great the story was. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if it was true, but hey, we all believed it, so it worked.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm in New York. Silence. You know what I'm saying? The birds and the motherfucking squirrels have taken over the street. This is unprecedented. So you had to pay attention to it. So you know what I'm saying? I'm still paying attention. I'm not running head first into it because, you know, sometimes the story be fucked up. But in the end, but you don't know that until you're already fucked up. So you got to hedge your bets. So I'm hedging my bets. I'm holding off, you know what I'm saying? And I'm watching. Once I become eligible, then this has become a real discussion because right now, I'm, you know, it's all theory because I ain't even eligible to get a fucking vaccine right now.
Speaking of vaccine eligibility, I have never seen this many people leveraging obesity ever. A lot of people's like, well, I mean, you know, my BMI tell me I could go ahead and get the shot. You know what I mean? Like, these are cats that ain't never identified a certain type of way. But they like, well, you know what? I mean, on paper, you know, they say I'm at risk, so I might as well go in.
Yeah.
But, you know, look, man, if you're at risk, don't be a hero. You know what I'm saying? Especially if you're not reluctant about it. Go ahead, save yourself.
The only thing that you know make you look twice about it is that rich people they leveraging their whole richness to get it. So I was like, that story was that was a very compelling story to get them motherfuckers. They'll never be into shit. But they like shit.
What you saw about like with rich people showing up in the hood and skipping the line?
Rich people trying to skip the line to get the vaccine.
Right. Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Using their pull to get their way.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So they in line. They trying to get it. They trying to get it before y'all. Like, yeah, get me first.
Right, right,
so
right.
That's the only thing they like, they running the scam on the whole world.
Yeah, the whole thing is a little puzzling. I saw some they're about 35, 34-year-old women, mm-hmm. and they dressed up like grandmothers, and they went to go get the vaccine. And they got their first round. They got the first shot. Mm-hmm. They came back for the second round. They got caught out there. And then there's a video of the guy shaming them, you know, to about, look at you. What's wrong with you? You're taking it from someone else. Mm-hmm. If we should arrest you. You know, that type of thing. They mm-hmm. were white, so they didn't get arrested. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, man.
So
it's a thing.
Yes, it's a real thing, man. But, you know, we'll figure it out. The world's going to continue spinning, you know, whether we're going to be vaccinated zombies or we just continue and get back to regular life with the new operating system installed in us, then, hey, you know.
Right.
But say you don't get the vaccine and everybody on a new operating system and you're not compatible, then what happens then?
Right. Yeah, well, they got to do some type of rollout for the new OS.
They rolling it out now.
Because, you know, I'm always like this. You know what I mean? Not just with vaccines, but definitely with downloading new operating systems. And typically, that's how I find out when I'm missing out. Like, I'm scrolling through Instagram, and it's like four black boxes in a row. And I'm like, well, why can I see any of these? Then I say, oh, okay, I'm behind. Right, and then I jump on the situation. Speaking of that, that's a good segue I want to say. Operating systems. I don't know if this is an operating system. I don't think it's an operating system. More of a browser. But it's, again, under the umbrella of shaming.
Mm-hmm.
I came across a tweet about a week or two ago. And I've seen this in the ether for a while prior to this tweet, but the tweet, mm-hmm. to paraphrase, was a friend of mine told me that Safari was their default browser, and I've been looking at them different ever since. I was like, oh, that hit me because Safari's my default browser. And I was very upset about that because I've heard the slander about Safari.
Uh-huh.
But I haven't really seen much evidence. And I'll be honest with you. Okay, if I'm thinking of browsers, there's Safari, which is the in the box. I also saw somebody make the analogy, and I thought this was also defamatory too. They say Safari is for the people that buy a new iPhone and don't take the plastic off their screen. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't like the slander, but it was colorful, but I didn't like it. It stung. But
why? Because you had Safari or you didn't take the plastic off your screen?
Well, maybe I might have done both in my life. I'm definitely week four with the new iPhone, and I got a little lint under the plastic around the edges. Yeah, my screen looked like a scab. Nah, I've gotten away from that. I've gotten away from popping the collar, popping the tag. You know what I mean? Off my new shit. I've exercised that portion of my broke. But Safari, it's in play. Like, once you get your joint, it's like the default, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, boom, it get me on the internet. That's where I'm going. So I'm like, all right, well, there it is. You know what I'm saying? Unless there seems to be a problem. Like, you know, so then there's what? Google Chrome.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess maybe Firefox is still around. I don't know.
Yeah.
And it's weird because a lot of my reluctance is unfounded, right? So, because I could say... No, because as I'm thinking about it, I'm looking at this, right? So, like, look, if we're talking about default infrastructure or default tools, right?
Mm-hmm.
Safari's cool with me on my laptop, right? Or even on my iPhone or whatever, right? however, when I'm using a Maps program from when I'm driving, I think Apple Maps is terrible,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
I'll use Google Maps because I'm just used to it. I'll use that over Waze and all of that. I'm used to it. It is what it is, even though I know it's tracking you, right?
Mm-hmm.
But for that very reason, that's kind of why I don't use Google on my laptop because I feel like they selling your information. Obviously, they're selling your information everywhere, and they tracking you everywhere. But for whatever reason, it doesn't feel as invasive, you know what I mean, when I'm using Google Maps because I'm only going to a destination. You know what I'm saying? Like, on Google Chrome, I could be logging into my bank info. You know what I'm saying? Like, I, you know, whatever I'm doing, it's just a little bit more, feels like it's a little bit more exposed or whatever. But long story short, I have kind of, and I don't know if it's just because I just saw that recently or because, you know, me and Apple have been having our battles, but I have been noticing the Safari's been glitchy as of late. Long story short, what browser do you use? Are you one of these people that's laughing at Safari? Is there a reason for the browser you use? And what have you noticed in your experience browsing said internet?
Well, I ain't even that type of person, you know what I'm saying, to even know or be feel some type of way about whatever browser I'm using. But I do use Safari and Chrome, you know what I'm saying? I don't allow Chrome to be my default, but
sound like me right now. Keep
but,
going.
But I do fuck with the Chrome. So, and then, you know, with my Microsoft Outlook, I use my own business stuff on Safari, and then I use other people's business on Chrome. So if I log into my Thorough email, it's gonna be on Safari. When I log into my Central Ave or any other shit, it's going to be on Chrome. Just to separate them and to keep them both logged in at the same damn time. So I utilize both just for convenience of myself. Not because I think anyone is any better than the other. Because like you said, all I'm trying to do is get on the motherfucking internet. I ain't, right. I mean, I'm not trying to, I don't know what else you could do with a fucking browser. What else you do with a browser?
I don't know. I mean, they browsing. We browsing. But what's the distinction? Why do you do your own stuff on Safari, but then the other stuff on Chrome?
Because that's just how it played out when I, you know what I'm saying? I was already logged into my own shit on Safari. So I just default and logged in on Chrome with the other shit. But Safari, like you said, it comes in the box. It works. You know what I'm saying? It's, you know, the identity is familiar. You know what I'm saying? The graphics are a lot better and sleeker than on fucking Chrome. You know what I'm saying? Chrome is a little boxy and bulky. Safari has, like, nice edges in the design. So, it feels comfortable. You know what I'm saying? It's already on my phone. It's already, you know what I mean? Like you said, you know, Apple Maps is terrible, but I'm not so keen on Google Maps either. It's just some shit. Waves is supposed to be good, but the graphics is fucking elementary.
They super busy too. It's a lot going on.
Right. Like they like, you know what I'm saying? You know, it's too much. So yeah. I fuck with Safari and the Apple Map just cause it, you know, the graphics look better.
Yo, that's really what's keeping Apple in the game. The design, the style, the aesthetic. That's it. That's the only, honestly, I feel like that's the only thing. And they need a new competitor. They really do, because obviously PC ain't doing it. But that's the only thing. But I'm curious for the listeners, if you have a preference, let us know why. Because that's the thing about the tweet. It said that and it hit me, but it didn't really provide any reasoning for why you looking at this person different. Right. Like, but what is it that you feel about Safari that makes you feel so strongly about this person's character? So I would like to know if you rock with Safari. If you Safari gang, let us know. If you over here, you know what I mean? If you over here in the Chrome, you know.
That could go the wrong way because they might think Safari Nicki Minaj ex-boyfriend.
That's what I, as I said it, I was like, ah, yeah. That's back to 6ix9ine. Exactly. You know what I mean? Certain names like, are loaded.
You know what I'm saying? That nigga fucking sex tape hit the fucking internet and the girl's gonna be like, shit, nigga, I'm Team Safari. You like, oh well, wasn't talking about that.
No, but I meant the real Safari. The other safari, hey. Not the real safari. Because the real safari. Speak. I got something about that too. But go ahead. What
about trip
to say?
Shit is. I never knew the nigga name. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And for whatever reason, when I first saw it, I didn't register safari the way it was spelled.
Yeah, so, it's spelled different.
Right.
Yeah.
So it always registers in my mind as Sarah Free. I'm like, what old Sarah Fee doing today talking about? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
See old Meek Mill about to fight Sarah Free out there. I'm like 100 years old with that, like grandpa.
Yeah, grandpa with that shit. It's a lot of them. It's like, what, Sweetie? Saweetie, the way it's spelled, is like, is this Saweetie? Yeah. I like Sweetie, though.
Saw-wet.
Yeah.
What's Saw-wet talk about?
Right. Shit. Speaking of Safari, though, I seen a friend of mine posted this thing. It's basically a meme talking about how white people in New Orleans are on Facebook strategizing how to survive the black neighborhoods they're gentrifying, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the way that they speaking about it, so they're going to say, so peep, this is one of the first guys like, if we're going to gentrify, we have to take our chances. I think we're in a spike that hasn't peaked yet. Other cities are similarly trending. So no matter where gentrifiers are, the fun is just the beginning. And then somebody, you know, replies with, all major inner cities have crime, and we are far from the worst. I was taught by someone long ago, always look people straight in the eyes and say a quick, how you doing? When you walk past, humanize your situation. I love humanize your situation when you're dealing with humans. But walk quickly with purpose, with your head held high like you are confident. Also, pay attention to your surroundings. Don't be looking at your phone when you're walking or standing alone on the street. Avoid poorly lit areas and blah, blah, blah gets cut
off.
What's the site? It's not a site. It's on Facebook. Somebody tweeted it. They took a screenshot of this conversation and kind of reported it to the people. Like, yo, look at what's going on out here. It must be one of these little groups that got infiltrated by the spook that sat by the door.
Right.
And it's something to look at. It's just, I mean, we know this is going on, but it's just so funny. Humanize the situation.
Right.
Oh, man.
Anyway. That's crazy.
Shit, B. What's good, man? What's up with you?
Man, shit. Fresh off of All-Star Weekend, Atlanta.
Yeah, man, how was your experience, man? You was in the midst.
No, I wasn't. I was in the lab, like with DJ Nabs, but I was in, you know, we were doing that All-Star project for the TNT pregame show.
And
so I was kind of caught up in the mix, like in the actual mix of mixing that piece down, the color and then the sound. So most of the weekend I was on that. So I wasn't out in the streets.
I've been seeing that pop up on a few accounts. The video, the new Atlanta tourism situation.
You say tourism. You know what I mean?
Welcome back to the A. Yeah, make you want to go down there.
Yeah, you know? Definitely. That was the purpose of, you know, people getting to know that, you know, the things that are going on, because it's a city like no other. And I ain't even saying this as a sales pitch. It's just like, you know, when you realize the things that Atlanta has that's special, you realize that not a lot of other cities have that, not in America.
Mm.
So, you know, we should appreciate it while we got it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, man, it was packed out here. You know what I'm saying? The people was here. You know what I'm saying? AG had the dome cracking and the goddamn Onyx, and there's a lot going on around here. A lot of Rolls Royces.
Yeah. I can imagine.
With black occupants.
Yeah, that is the twist. That's the old Atlanta twist. It's luxury for the Negro. You know what I mean? Yeah, nah, that is it right there, man. Yeah, man.
But you know, it's a good time to be a promoter.
I'm sure.
They getting it
now,
in.
Some could say You're part of the problem.
I'm a part of the problem.
I'm just saying this come to Atlanta propaganda out here, and I see the situation where we should be back at home. You out here super spreading.
It didn't say come to Atlanta. It said this is Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? Okay. You come at your own risk. Mm.
There you go. There it is. All right. Well, I'm fucking with you. Yeah, man, that shit look cool.
Nah, I am part of the problem, though, because I damn sure is, like, you know what I'm saying, hey, man, this shit out here cracking. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I ain't say go to the club, but, you know, I feel you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, man.
So, yeah, the video, the project turned out really well. You know what I'm saying? I'm not sure if anyone saw it, but if you watched the NBA All-Star pregame show from the beginning, because it dropped like soon as the show started, right, damn near. So the show started at 5. It was on at 5:13. But if you saw it, it was the one, you know, that was talking about Atlanta and all these things and had all these people in it. And, I mean, that was pretty dope, you know what I'm saying? Because a lot of times you do these types of videos and they just get dropped on the internet, you know.
Right.
And then
right.
You don't know who the fuck seen it. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, the tree falling in the forest if nobody saw it. So,
yeah.
Usually.
Well, that's what.
You know, go ahead.
Usually, go ahead. Keep going.
Usually, you know what I'm saying? You do these things and you know, it drops on the internet and then it's, you know, whoever sees it whenever they see it. But when it's on network TV or cable TV.
Right.
Then there's a large group of people that see it at one time, which makes it a lot different. You know what I mean?
Right. It impacts the world. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nah, I thought, you know, that's what I didn't see it on TV, but I saw it on the net. But what I thought was cool, you know, obviously I saw it on your account. Mm-hmm. And, you know, obviously you were part of the production team of that whole thing. You were one of the creators. So that didn't make, you know, that wasn't surprising. But what made me surprised was there was a few people that were posting it. You know what I mean? Like, and from my knowledge, they didn't really have much to do with the project outside of just their love for Atlanta,
right,
which makes it really cool because, you know, one, it is a tourism piece still, right? And it is. It's like, yo, welcome to Atlanta. This is about Atlanta. And these are people that I'm seeing that live in New York. And these people that I see live in, you know, they don't live in Atlanta, but they promoting it. So it resonated in a way of, because typically pieces like that don't really go out. Like you said, it's either they're going to impact on the television through an ad buy, but, you know, and it's going to be amongst the people of that community. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's like going to California, you see in the I Love New York commercial. Right. Like, damn, they love New York out here. Or either they just love the content.
Right.
And I think it speaks to the content. They like, yo, okay, this shit got these people in it. And, it, you know, on another note, back to what we just said, if we being honest, Atlanta, we've always said it, man. This is. I mean, shit, it's the closest thing to Africa we got in the States is where some black luxury can exist. And you know, as long as it's been going on, it's still, as you just said, right, you know, a couple minutes ago, it's still the feeling of, y'all better come down here while it's getting still good.
Exactly. You know what I mean?
Which is crazy, but it's like, that's the allure.
Yeah, that's the allure, man. Because, you know, a lot of times, you know, when you have a city that has a black administration and doing it, you know what I'm saying? They get drugged down in some type of conspiracy and, you know, shit like that. You know what I mean? Like Kwame Kilpatrick from Detroit. And, you know, it don't get to have a long lasting run that's smooth. I think Atlanta was out of the way for a long time. So they had these black administrations and they was just like a laid back city. You know what I'm saying? Not in the way, not in nobody way. They weren't the center of industry of a certain thing. Mm-hmm. So they were just doing their own thing. And then, you know, once the Olympics came, it was kind of like, oh, man, that city is doing its own thing. And then, you know, then it just so happens to be the administration is mostly black and it's such a black chocolate city. You know what I'm saying? They didn't get caught up in a Mary and Barry and shit like that. You know what I mean? So So they got to ride under the radar for a good 35, 36 years. And then now that they hit the scene, like they've hit the scene, they've been a successful black city. Not that, you know what I'm saying? Not that the people ain't trying to take it over, but you know what I'm saying? They've been successful at doing a black city without a lot of controversy and shit. So kudos to the whole place because it all worked together. It's like from Martin Luther King and Abernathy and, you know what I'm saying, all these guys putting in the civil rights work. Then they, you know, forcing the system to fuck with some black people. It almost may have been federally sanctioned, but, you know, who am I? I don't know. Because, like, in Miami, I felt like the Cuban takeover was kind of federally sanctioned. Like, hey, here's the deal. Y'all can have Miami. Okay, cool. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Felt like somebody said, you know what? Y'all can have Atlanta.
Right.
But, you know.
For now.
Yeah, right. But so if you don't take care, you know what I'm saying, they're going to come back and get it after you've made it prosperous and a big tourist destination.
He's going to say, look people straight in the eyes and say a quick, hey, shawty. And they'll humanize the situation. They plotting. That shit is in the Facebook group now. They living good down there. We got to take that.
Oh, shit. You humanize the situation.
Oh, man. Yeah, man. Salute, though. That's what's up, man.
No, yeah. Appreciate it, man. Shout out to Will Packer. Shout out Monique Chenault, Gary Considine. You know what I'm saying? The team. Mm-hmm. Everybody, you know what I'm saying, that put in the work. Shout out to Orlando McGee, who licensed all of the music for me. And, all
right.
Nigga, I'm going to tell you, man. I've been a music supervisor.
Yeah.
So I know how difficult it is to get all of these sign-offs. So by the time he got the official list of what needed to be licensed, it was a Friday. It was last Friday. The show, it got to go on the air on Sunday, which means, you know, you got to get all this shit cleared before then. Mm. And Friday is the last day of the week. Niggas leave the office. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
My man got all them signatures, dog, before we hit the air, with the exception of maybe one producer of one of the songs still hadn't signed off. But other than that, it was cleared, dog. And that's impossible. This motherfucker was calling presidents and, you know what I'm saying? Nigga was pulling strings.
Yeah, man.
So shout out
Orlando
to that,
is connected. Yeah, yeah. He's definitely... Yeah, man. Yeah, that's a big look. That's a, you know, that's a that's finesse.
Oh yeah, he definitely finessed that shit. Cause
yeah,
I was on. Man. I was like, yeah, what we doing? Where we at? You know what I'm saying? I was that nigga. You know what I'm saying? Checking
right,
in.
Right. Right.
And you know what I'm saying? Them shit started to flow in. I was like, oh shit. We actually might get this shit done.
You was on your client.
Yeah,
hey, what's going on?
Hey, just checking in.
Right.
I was actually blowing the man phone up, man.
Yeah, man. Hey.
You know what I'm saying? And them shit started coming in. It was like, you got to take, like, say, like a record like Kryptonite. That shit got by like 10 writers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's all the rappers, the producers, who, you know what I'm saying? Everybody get that credit. And it's like, that has the publishing credit. So it's like, every single one of them need to sign off. And it's Friday night. Yeah. It's Friday, man.
Yeah.
These niggas is chilling or doing. It's one producer. He was a co-producer on a big record that came out last year. I ain't going to shout his name out because, you know, that's inappropriate.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But a big record from last year, he had a 15% share in the publishing on this record.
Yeah.
It's Friday night. You know what I'm saying? We got every other signature for this particular song except for his. You know what I'm saying? We looked him up on his motherfucking Instagram. He is really in Atlanta doing All-Star Weekend. He partying. You know what I'm saying?
He's in the fray.
He's in the fray. We need his sign off on this motherfucking shit for Sunday. Right. You know what I'm saying? Right. So it was just weird to watch this guy go live on Instagram at the club on a fucking Saturday. And we need his signature by tomorrow. And finally, we ended up reaching his attorney. And his attorney gave the green light. You know what I'm saying? So that was tentative green light enough for us to move forward. Because it was like, damn, like, so that's what you're dealing with. You're trying to get these signatures. Some of these people are in Europe. Some of these people represent samples who they're just the family, the estate of a well-known, you know, songwriter that needs to sign off on this shit and give it a thumbs up. And my man Orlando made that shit happen in 24 hours, which is like mind-blowing.
I thought you was going to say Orlando showed up to a section in a hazmat suit with a clipboard. I thought that's what he said, but he just hit the lawyer. Damn, he really went the extra mile.
Nah, he go that motherfucker far.
That's what's up. Oh, man. It means a lot. I worked on something recently where, you know, we had a score and we had to clear something. And similarly, it was only one song, honestly. So that, I guess, it makes it even tougher because it's driving the whole thing.
Right. Especially when you're counting on it. You got to have it.
Yeah. When it's part of the, it's part of the production. It's almost like another character. You know what I mean? Sets the tone. And then you know, you got your shit for if we can't clear it. And obviously you're not really feeling it as much. So when that shit goes through, when you get the clearance, when you get that sign off, it is a moment. So yeah, man. Salute Orlando McGee, man.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. Yes, sir.
That's fire.
Cause I know how that shit go.
Do you miss that game at all?
Hell no.
Hell no. A lot of stress.
Because the thing is, like, you know, everybody, he talking about, do I miss being a music supervisor? And I don't, because it's a thankless job. You know what I'm saying? All the music supervisors out there, they make these visuals hot with the sounds that they provide and all that shit. But it's not an easy gig, and nobody appreciates it as much unless you're working on a musical. And they already know coming into it that the music is everything. Right. So I don't miss it, because if I was going to be a hardcore music supervisor that was on his shit, then I might as well have went to law school and been a lawyer, because that's all the work you're doing. Most of the work of a music supervisor is clearing these songs, which means getting signatures on fucking contracts. And if that's what I was going to do, I should have went on ahead and been a lawyer and got paid more per hour for doing this shit. You know what I'm saying? Right. You're negotiating terms for a big-ass multi-billion-dollar organization. And it's thankless. You know what I'm saying? So in the beginning, when you're independent, that shit is fun because you're choosing music and then you just so happen to have to clear it. You know what I'm saying? But then it's like, nigga, I only got $10. So you in or you out? You know what I'm saying? So it's an easy decision for the people who you're talking to. It's not like, let me think about it. It's like, either hell nah, or all right, I fucks with it. So, you know, that's when it's fun. But when you get to the, like, real studio system, and again, this just me. You got people who came into it in the era where music was more top of mind than when I came into it. Like, you know, like after like Entourage, that music supervisor killed it. He made it so that a lot of shows are looking at it like, oh, let's make sure that we have our music strategy right, because that can help sell it, like it did on Entourage. Like, everybody always waited on that last song that dropped during the credits for Entourage. You know what I'm saying? Because it was always some out the box shit. You know what I'm saying? They killed that, and they changed the game.
Right. It's funny too, because he was just talking about it. I think his name is Scott Venner, I'm almost positive. And he does a podcast with Pharrell. and there was an episode with Issa Rae, and they were talking about, you know, because Issa Rae has a lot of needle drops and all of that.
Oh, yeah, Issa Rae is a music first type of producer.
Absolutely. And he was kind of showing her, they were both kind of, it was like mutual admiration. And he was saying that, you know, I could tell by watching what you do that music is in the script. You know what I'm saying? That music is like top of mind. Whereas when I was doing it, he was like, it wasn't an afterthought, but it was kind of like, all right, man, do your thing. Like, it's not, it's like he said, I forget who the, Doug Ellen, I believe, is the writer, the creator for Entourage. And he was like, you know, his whole thing was more about the jokes. As long as these lines hit, da-da-da-da-da, here's the script, do what you want to. You know what I'm saying? Like, whereas it's like with Issa Rae, it's like Issa's in traffic and the song comes on. You know what I mean? The song is kind of baked into the script, so it's a little bit more, you know what I mean? It's a character. Whereas his thing was more like the flourish at the end, you know what I mean? And then, but to your point, and even she said it in true as hell, that last, he was like, I lived for that. He was like, that was my favorite thing. He was like, all I wanted was them end credits, and I needed to make sure that that fucking, that song at that end credits was hard body. And more often than not, he did. He killed it.
Yeah, he killed that. He killed that. He was the first one in TV to send you to your Shazam. Before there was a Shazam. It was like, what was that? So they had whole blogs dedicated to outlining the music in Entourage. So, like, he was in a position where obviously they gave him some leeway to have a budget to do that. But, and from the outside looking in, it seemed like almost like that was in the script. But, but when I was on, dog, that shit was an afterthought. A full afterthought, nigga. You got a whole movie, and then it's like, nigga, you got $10,000. Do what you do.
Make it happen.
Make it happen. And it's funny because it's funny we even talking about music supervisor shit right now, because I've been long gone from that shit. But a couple of days ago, Lindsay posted, a friend of mine, friend of ours, she was my intern at Vibe, posted a screenshot of a movie that we did with my name in the credits, with me and Akina's names in the credits. Akina was my partner in my music supervision shit, because she had a lot of pull and connections from working at Violator. So, so she posted that and was like, you know, funny seeing your mentor's name on the screen. And I was like, damn. And that particular movie, Motives, I felt like was my best work as a music supervisor.
Yeah. Why was that?
Because of what we did with what we had to work. We might have had $8,000 to work with. And we got a lot of shit. Like Guapale's Closer was in that shit when it was like right before it was the shit. You know what I'm saying? They were coming. They came to Vibe to do, I guess they was meeting with somebody in editorial, but they came in on the wrong floor. And
I remember that. It
was after hours, and then I ended up kicking it with them and shit, and they gave me the CD, and Closer was on that shit. And then I put that shit in the movie.
And that's then, another one of them people read their name wrong. I used to call it Goa Pele for a long time.
I probably would have too, but I met them, you know what I'm saying? Before I knew them, I met them. So I knew what it was. But then we had Jackie O from Miami. She had a song that was popping, at least in the Southeast, called Pussy. We had that in there. Then Rafael Sadiq gave me two tracks for that movie. And I cut a crazy ass deal to get it done, that I didn't know that I was going to be able to fulfill. You know what I'm saying? Because I sold ads at the Vibes. And I, you know what I'm saying, I got cool with him on some other shit through his manager. And then I told him he was about to drop Instant Vintage, which is a classic right now, to me at least. He was about to drop Instant Vintage. They was looking for ways to promote. I was like, you know what I'm saying, shit, I've got this movie. You know what I'm saying? He was like, oh, man, I always wanted to do movies and shit, which is interesting because he does all the Issa Rae shit on Insecure. So he was like, I always wanted to do that shit, da-da-da-da, whatever, let's do it. You know what I'm saying? We went in the studio, he pulled up a couple of songs, and then he gave me this song called Scream. And then he had two versions of it. So one played at the beginning of the movie, one played at the end. But I was like, my idea was that I would be able to do an album release party for him at Vibe and give him an ad page. So,
yeah.
Nigga, the album release party, that was easy.
Right.
The page was very complicated mathematics. I didn't know how I was going to get that done. And he gave me the song. Boom, we sent the movie. Now it's time for me to do what I'm supposed to do. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, So boom, but got the event part was easy. You know what I'm saying? So we ended up doing his album release at Joe's Pub. You know what I'm saying? He did a little performance. That shit was dope. You know what I mean? The ad, I wore that shit to the last second. I was trying, like, we had these things called, what they call them shits?
Remnants.
Remnants. We had remnants that, you know, you could get for a discount mostly. And then there were these holes that ended up in the book sometimes where if you don't sell enough ads, there's a hole and you could put like a PSA in there. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So I played. I went all the way to the last day when we was about to ship. And I'm watching it. I'm monitoring it and shit. And I'm sweating bullets. And there was no remnants available, one. And then who was going to pay for it? Not me. I ain't have it to pay for it, so shit. And at the last second, nigga, there was a hole that they were going to fill with a PSA. And I was like, hey. I got a client. They've been a good client. We could use that hole. If you're going to put something there, put this there.
Right.
And they did that shit. And I was like, oh, Lord.
Buzzer beater.
Yeah, so buzzer beater. So with all that attached to that particular movie, I felt like that was like my best work because we got it all done. Rafael Sadiq, Guapale, Jackie O, and a few other sneak hitters. With $8,000 and a bunch of promises.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so
that's wild, man. I used to work in that area. That was my first gig at Vibe and Spin Ad Services doing that. I remember I had to go around with the map, you know, after Maria and Jimmy. Really Maria, but shout out Maria Raja, Jimmy Sale, but they used to move the ads around, you know, do the competitive separation and lay the magazine out. And then this was back before, you know, PDFs and everything were a big deal. So I had to go make copies of the map for every sales rep. And then that's kind of how I got to know everybody in the game, like on the sales side, because I would come through and deliver those maps. And those shits would get updated throughout the day, and it would be like, it was like you was delivering the papers. Right, you know what I mean? Right. And, you know,
you gotta make sure your ads that you sold are in the right spots, or in the good spots, you know?
Right, right. So, yeah, coming through with that layout. Yeah, man, that's that's one of them things, man. One of those old school, you know, one of the memories and shit, man. Yeah. That was a time. Let me ask you this, though. And then I guess we'll move on. But how much of that, you know, you're talking about, you know, squeezing a lot out of a little, getting things in last minute, you know, negotiating with artists and everything like that. If you had to put a percentage on it, how much of that music supervision role is rooted or helped by relationships?
Man, that's all you got. That's all you got is relationships. If you don't have no relationships, you can't get that shit done. Like, you'll definitely be burning your budget and not getting the hottest shit you can get if you don't have relationships. Right. It's all it's that job is 50% relationships and 50% administrative paperwork. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The
yeah.
rest of it, you know, especially when you get big in the industry, like say you working on a shit with a big director, that director mm-hmm. is going to tell you exactly what songs he want for each scene. I want this, I want that, I want that. That means you don't have no creative latitude to do shit except for go get that paperwork signed. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And the only way you're going to get that paperwork signed is relationships. So, so 45% relationships, 10% motherfucking creativity per se. And then the rest is administrative paperwork, lawyer work.
Got it.
Because that's who you're mostly dealing with. Their you're only dealing with the artist. You're dealing with their representation. So it's like, nigga, you got to know all the law shit just like they know. So that's why I was like, I might as well have went to law school and shit. Because shit, this all I'm doing.
Right, right.
So if anybody out there trying to be a music supervisor, this is what I would suggest. If you're creative, if you're the creative person, find your administrative person and partner up with them. And then you got it all covered. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If you're an administrative person, find your creative person. You know what I mean? Actually, administrative person may not even need a creative person. They could just do it. It might not be as cool, but they could get it done. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Especially if they just love administration stuff. That's their creativity.
Right, because you're a superstar if you could just get the contract signed, because that's the main part of the shit.
Now, let me ask you this. Do you not think, like, I know you said if you get bigger in the business, mm-hmm. right, and you start working with these big dog directors or whatever producers,
mm-hmm.
you don't think you maintain a little bit of latitude? You don't think the fact that you big in the business, people want to fuck with you because of your ear? Like, how much of that, or do you think it's just, we just look, I'm gonna, these are the records that I want. I don't really want to hear what you got to say. Where do you think the balance is?
I can't speak from that side of the experience.
Speculating.
Yeah, that's a speculation. I didn't get that far to be able to have a good gauge because, listen, man, it's like this. You know, you could be the greatest music supervisor in the world, man. And on some, if you become and you have that name and a production feels like they need that for their production, I want that entourage feel, I want that this feel, whatever, then you've done that. But that's a couple of cats, you know what I'm saying? Who are able to distinguish themselves like that. Everybody else, you just licensing music, really, and putting your creative spin on it. But what I learned was, I came in the game with guys who were just making it happen. Like, it was no rules. And it's like, somebody asked you, you know, what would you choose to do in this movie thing if you had the choice? And you're like, I'm a music supervisor. And you're just dumb and don't know shit. And then you're like, okay, you're a music supervisor. Then you get in the shit and realize that shit, at the time, it didn't have no union attached to it. Nobody protected your rights, your pay, whatever. So it's like, music is the last thing people think about in the budget. And then it's like, all right, whatever's left, make it happen. You know what I'm saying? When you could have really said, with your skill set and the things that you do, you could have been like, hey, I want to be an associate producer. Because there's people that you know, come to that get involved in a movie project just by being able to bring certain talent to the table. And just like, you know, how I brought Chris Brown to Stomp the Yard and Neo to Stomp the Yard. And, you know, things like that. Like, you could have said, hey, I want to be associate producer because I'm bringing these assets to the table. And then you'll be on a different track. You know what I mean? But then when you get stuck in a certain track, you realize that position is very low on the totem pole to the point where on the movie, on Stomp the Yard, the playback guy, who is a union position, he's an older guy, he was the only guy in Georgia that did what he did. in the union. So that's the only guy you can hire on a union project. This guy comes in. He has the music that you've selected for this scene loaded up in his computer. And when they say action, play the music back in the music scenes, he presses the button. And he's called a playback guy. His position is playback. Mm-hmm. So if you got like somebody singing, like Billie Holiday singing a song, when they say action, somebody that has to play the song that the actor is going to sing to. And that person is called a playback. When I realized that the playback guy was going to make way more money than me, it fucked me up.
The DJ.
It's yeah. Not even a deep nigga. He had to play what I put in his system.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? He pressed the button. And I'm responsible for this guy. If he fucks up, it's on me. You know what I'm saying? That guy made more money than me because he was in the union. My shit was a flat rate. As long as they had him on the set, his shit was clicking by the hour. I was like, damn. And I was going to work on this project not from the time we're shooting it and I'm done. It's when we shooting it and all the way until every single song is licensed and signed off on, which is down there to when the movie about to come out. So you on this shit for over a year and some change. He on this shit for whenever days he show up. And he getting paid more than you. I realized that I had fucked up. I'm in the wrong position.
Oh, man.
For real.
Shout out to the playback guy. The lone playback
guy. He was a nice guy. Jim Hawkins. He was a lovely guy.
That's what's up. Shout out to young Jim Hawkins getting paid. You know what I mean? Shit. Speaking of Jim Hawkins, I wonder, did Jim Hawkins work on Coming to America? Did you see Coming to America?
Listen, man, I would love to have said I've seen it, and I told you that I was going to see it, but I just told you about them licensing and all that shit. Me pressuring Orlando prevented me from being able to watch a motherfucking thing. You know what I'm saying? My first day off was yesterday.
And man. So you ain't see Snowfall either?
Nah, I saw Snowfall.
Oh, shit. That's hilarious. All right, well, look. We'll get into Coming to America next week. I like the priority. Oh, man, well, shit. I ain't mad at it. Let's talk about it before we get out of here, because you know the streets like to hear us recap.
Yeah, definitely.
The episodes. So what did you think?
Okay. Sis, Snowfall this week. Now, what happened this week?
It was a lot. I had to rewatch it just off the strength of this.
I know Scully mad as fuck.
Yeah, but we ain't seen much Scully in this one. This episode was Oso and Reed. Mm-hmm. Oso had to get his revenge.
Right. You know what I mean?
He had to avenge his people. This was a heavy, strong, sissy episode. You know what I mean? Speaking of getting deals done. Mm-hmm. And stressing people to get deals done.
Oh, right. She met with the politician and shit.
She met with the politician. She also caught a, she had a bit of a shakedown. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And even after all of that, she pulled Franklin close and said, listen, I need you to get that deal with Davis done.
Right.
Don't worry about what happened to me. Yeah, she's tough as nails.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's the interesting part about Snowfall, because it takes you to an era when nobody knew shit. You know what I'm saying? All they knew was this shit is making a lot of money. Niggas wasn't going to jail for it yet. You know what I mean? It was just like a free, open market economy of crack. And mothers, you know, they were conflicted. You had church mothers go to church, come home, like, I don't want no parts of this shit. Blah, blah, blah. But then once you really start getting a part of this shit and it started to become something totally beyond your whole imagination, like your 20-year-old son is a multimillionaire making shit happen, that shit is alluring. And I feel like Sissy is, as Jerome has stated, that they have been, you know what I'm saying, they ain't innocent. They, you know what I'm saying, she wasn't no innocent woman in this thing. But now she's starting to say, you know what, this is how it can affect my dreams. And she's asserting herself in the game like a real G because it affects her dreams.
Yeah. Yeah. She gotta leverage it. She gotta make her shit happen too. Especially if you're gonna have me all in the mix like this, talk about we need to relocate. Nah, we gotta make some deals.
Like, listen, nigga, I need my shit popping now. Come on.
I've been in this real estate game for 17 years. This shit got to amount to something.
Right. But so, see, that's what he tried to tell her in the beginning. She was reluctant.
Right. But I guess, you know, after a while, take a minute. But shit starts to turn over. So, you know, they had to shut down the black bookstore. Which
Franklin, I think they setting up his fall. And it's sad.
Yeah, he bugging.
Cause he doing a lot of wrong shit, man. Yeah. Damn, he done threw the whole black bookstore people who was, you know what I'm saying, his community ear.
Yeah. Going,
getting them
that
up.
That made me think of Essawan Books out in Leimert Park. Cause that's where that bookstore was. It was a black bookstore in Leimert Park. And that's one of my favorite bookstores. I remember I've been there the first time I ever went to LA. I was like, yo, this is a big-ass black book. This shit is popping. Like, they got some shit going on. So, that definitely, shout out to them. That's a hell of a bookstore if you out there, if you ever know.
Yeah, Leimert Park is definitely on their shit. I've never been out there, you know what I'm saying? But I've definitely heard about it. We was shooting a lot of shit when we was doing Van Lathan, when we was doing his Van on the Streets. We shot an episode out in Leimert Park. Off the recommendation of the brothers who was saying how, you know what I'm saying, how cool it was there and the knowledge and the blacks and the people, you know what I'm saying? So, I want to experience it once I get my vaccination.
right. Yeah, it's a real, real black Los Angeles hub. Feels good. It's a good look. So Frank did them dirty. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that was terrible. That was sad, man. That was sad.
Yeah.
He just ain't got it. He ain't got no motherfucking conscience no more about that shit.
Nah, he's in a weird place. I think he's still rusty. I think he's scrambling. You know what I mean? Like, you know, he tried to put the hammer down on Knicks, and Knicks, he upped the ante by taking his mom's hostage.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That was a bold move. So we're gonna see what's that gonna turn into. That was kind of crazy. I like Oso and Reed getting it in. they had a nice little A-team moment, you know, where they ran up in the spot getting it, you know. Getting it shaking with the bulletproof vest on, and you got to see Reed is nice with that, with them pistols, and that his gunplay is something special. That was cool. I'm curious. There was that one scene. I always feel like everything is deliberate. I'm curious. There was that one scene with Wanda getting high with the other two crackheads. And then her tooth pop out, like she pull a tooth out, and then she's
that's that,
like
that's
looks
that moment
in the mirror.
Of truth.
Yeah, that's that scene. I seen a meme where they had a photo of her. They said the real WandaVision. I thought that was funny, but like seeing herself, she's looking in the mirror at herself with a tooth in her hand cracked out. Is this the pivot? Is she about to turn her life around? I'm curious to see that. Mm. And then the last thing that I peeped. An analogy, I feel like that news reporter is kind of fiended out too, like as far as this story, as far as these leads, because she's working with this other cat, and it was like a junkie kind of conversation. They in the car, and he like, yo, this is what I got for you, and she's like, all right, bet, but can you get some more? And he's like, look, this is where I'm going to have to leave you, Ma. Like, I know you going all in, but I gotta take it easy. I wish you well. It felt like a fiend moment. It felt like, yo, I need this. He's like, listen, do you, but I got to shake off.
I ain't look at it like man. That, but now that you say it, for real.
Yeah, it was definitely, it felt like that. You know, obviously, I did a rewatch, so I'm on it. But, I'm on it. Because last week, I was kind of foggy with it. I'm like, right, I forgot that scene. So I seen it again.
Right, but I seen it. One of the things that was bugged out to me was Mel, who looks like, you know, she's pulled herself together in a very, I don't know what to call it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like she looked like she's off the drugs, but like she's very subdued with it. You know what I'm saying? Which is interesting. And like, you know, I'm wondering how they're playing that because we don't really know yet.
Right.
But like, you know, like what's this recovery, you know what I'm saying? Super, very over here with it. And with all that trauma she got, it's like she's very subdued, like almost medicated. Right. Like, I'm not sure what's going on with that.
Right. Well, that was episode one, right? She wasn't in this last episode, was she?
Didn't the reporter went to go see her, didn't she?
That was the first episode. That was one of the first two episodes when they went out to go to the crib where she was staying with, I guess, her aunt or somebody like that.
Oh, so that one is new one?
No.
Stood out. I ain't talking about it last week, so it stood out.
Yeah, well, there you go. It's all good because I'm like,
nigga, shit, goddamn it.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah, I'm curious what's going to happen with Mel. I think Mel still want revenge.
Yeah, one in the chamber.
Yeah, I think she got a. She might have to. You know, I'm still. It's starting to feel far fetched, but no, I definitely put the theory out that one of them parents is going to catch one, and I'm still thinking it might be the father. And I would not be surprised if Mel is behind that. If she can't kill Franklin, you know, she still got to avenge her father's death, and if her pops is in the mix. Like he is, Mel might creep up on him. You know what I mean? Sober and shooting. Sober. So we're going to see. She ain't on the pipe no more. She got the pipe, though. Oh, man. What else? Any speculation? Anything else you
I ain't trying to get too far ahead. I want to ride along with it. Because I don't want to feel like, you know what I'm saying, this shit falling off since John Singleton, you know what I'm saying, passed away. So I try to let them roll it out for me, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to get too far ahead with it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I hear you. I'm enjoying it. It's going to be good. It's going to be good.
shit.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Anything else you want to talk about before you get out of here? How you feeling?
Nah, I'm feeling good, man. You know what I'm saying? I was going to talk about some negative shit, but I'm going to pass.
Save that for next week.
Nah, I'll be over it by negative. Then. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I was going to say it, it was going to be right now, but I'm feeling petty.
Shit.
Now that we done talked about all this good old shit. You know what I'm saying? I'm feeling good. Had a good conversation. Ain't no need to bring up no negative shit happened to me during the week.
Yeah, it's some listener right now listening like, come on, Ali, let me hear that shit. Fuck it, I need to hear this negativity. You gonna get a DM.
Right, hey, right.
What was that negative shit? Nigga, I needed to hear that. Shit,
man, we need that.
Oh, shit. Anyway. Oh, well, shit. Let's get up out of here then, man. Transform and roll out. Until next week, man. Tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation. We out.
Yeah.